Last time we had fellowship, we went over Jesus Christ's lineage and his conception. We took a look at, from both Mary and Joseph's sides, Jesus Christ's lineage. Tonight we're going to take a look at the events preceding his birth, starting with messages from angels to two relatives and their unlikely pregnancies. So you can take your Bibles tonight. You can go to Luke chapter 1, verse 5. We're going to take a look at Elizabeth and Mary and their angelic visitors. Luke 1, verse 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. So verse 5 has a lot of information in it, okay? The first thing we learn is that Herod was ruler at the time. He was king of Judea by consent of Rome, because as we learned in our journey through Acts, Rome was the superpower of the time. And in that area of Judea, it was under Roman rule, but Rome allowed the individual cultures and peoples to have their own kings. And so Herod was king by consent of Rome. Zacharias was a priest, and if Zacharias was a priest, that makes him a Levite, and he's a, therefore a direct descendant of Aaron. He's of the course of Abiah. Okay, what that means, there were 24 divisions made by King David in 1 Chronicles 23 and 24. If you want to go read it sometime, you can. But he divides up the Levitical priests into 24 divisions or courses. And each course had to go to the temple at Jerusalem a specific week twice a year. So 24 courses times two separate visits each is 48 weeks covered. And then they all had to go together during the three great annual feasts, the Pentecost, Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the Feast of Tabernacles. So during those feasts, all of the priests came. So they basically divvied up the duty amongst the 24 groups twice a year, and then during those 3 weeks, they all came. Being of the course of Abiah allows us to date the week of his service in the year 4 BC as the last week of May. So if you look at the Jewish calendar, when the Levitical priests were supposed to be serving, if he, in the course of Abiah, was the course that had to serve, it would have been at the last week of May. Okay? So that allows us to put some a little bit of a timeline together. And then finally, his wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. So there you go, fun fact. Verse 6. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, what?
Blameless.
So Zacharias and Elizabeth both followed God's law very strictly. They were, according to the law, blameless. They did what God's word told them to do. Verse 7, and they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. So in those times, it was a great disgrace to not have a child. It was looked down upon. It was like people thought poorly of you, because Easterners believed that this blessing was withheld because of one's sin, or the couple's sin. So it was sort of a belief that if the couple was doing something wrong or sinning in some way, that the blessing of having a child would be withheld from them. So Zacharias, being a priest, made that sort of extra hard. Now the word of God says in verse 6 that they walked in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless, but unfortunately, Elizabeth was barren. Verse 8. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Okay, so he's there performing his Levitical duty, and his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And this is kind of cool. So to burn incense was a great honor. It was like the biggest deal, because it was believed that the burning of the incense, the smoke rising up, signified the people's prayers going directly up to God. So if you got to be the guy to go into the holiest of holies and do that, it was a big deal. And it says that it was his lot, which means that he kind of ended up in a fortunate situation by chance. And the way that they would do this, which I found very interesting, all the priests who came to serve in the course, so in his group, his division of 24, they all came, and they would all stand in a circle around the president of the priest's course. And the president would call out a number, and then everybody would be like, 1, 2, 3, shoot, and stick out 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 fingers. And the priest would start with one person, and whatever number he called, he would start counting the fingers. And as he went around, wherever he landed, that guy was the chosen person. So that's how the lot would fall. So if the lot fell on you, you got to do the cool thing, which in his case was go in and burn the incense. So that's how they would figure out where the lot falls. So Zacharias gets to do this really great honor. Verse 10, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. So they believe that this smoke rising was taking those prayers up to God. So everybody's outside of the inner sanctum of the temple praying. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord floating in the air with his wings spread. It says that he was standing on the right side of the altar of incense. He was standing there. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him, because, you know, he figured he was alone in there, and all of a sudden there's a guy there standing there. It'd be kind of freak you out too. But the angel said to him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is what?
Heard.
Thy prayer is heard." His prayer was for Israel. That's what he was doing. He was in there praying on behalf of Israel. That was his Levitical duty. He wasn't in there praying to have a kid, as some people have taught, because they were both old. She was barren. He was in there praying for Israel. That was his job. So Zacharias says, "Thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost," or Holy Spirit, "even from his mother's womb, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their what?
God.
So the answer to the prayer for Israel was that Elizabeth would bear a son. And John means Jehovah shows favor. So Zacharias was praying for Israel, but the answer to that prayer is going to come in the form of his own son. Because Gabriel tells him that, or the angel tells him that he's going to turn many of the children of Israel back to God. Back to God. There had been no written revelation to Israel since Malachi. So the book before the New Testament, that was the last prophet recorded in the Old Testament. And it was 400 years before John lived. So Israel as a people was kind of hurting for to get back to God, to get back to a spiritual walk. It had been 400 years since they had a prophet. They were kind of living in spiritual darkness. So this was going to be an answer to prayer for Israel, that they were going to have a new prophet who would bring them back to God and out of the spiritual darkness. And it says in verse 15 that John would have Holy Spirit upon him from his mother's womb. Not even Jesus Christ would have that blessing. He was to have Holy Spirit on him from his mother's womb. And all the prophets in the Old Testament, when they received Holy Spirit, it was placed upon them, and it was obviously at some point during their walk and their ministry. But John was to have it coming out at birth. Verse 16, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord, prepared for God, to hear God's word. Verse 18, and Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? How will I know this? I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. If he was praying specifically for his child, he would have been like, thank you, this is the answer to my prayer. He was praying for Israel. The answer to that prayer is a child. And he's like, how is that going to happen? I'm really old, and so is my wife. And the angel answering, verse 19, said, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not be able to speak. So, couldn't talk and he was stupid. All right. Thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. So, because Zacharias did not believe, he was struck dumb, unable to speak until that day that these things would be performed. Till everything came to pass that Gabriel told him, he would not be able to speak. Okay? Now, this presents a little bit of a problem, because Zacharias' job was to go in and pray for Israel. That was his lot, that was his honor. And what he's supposed to do is come out of the temple and make a grand proclamation to everybody about the prayer that he's made and how it's going to be a wonderful new year and all this other stuff. So verse 21, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak to them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. So he motioned to them like, I can't talk. Because normally the priest would come out and pronounce that a blessing to the people, but Zacharias couldn't speak. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, once his course was done, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. To take away her reproach. People thought that they had done something wrong, that they had screwed up, and this was the reason that they didn't have a kid. And she was so blessed and so thankful that the Lord dealt with her this way, to take away her reproach, to give her this blessing. And so, as we saw before, her conception was likely in early June of 4 BC, because the course would have wrapped up at the very end of May, and then they had to go back to their home. And so she conceives around June of 4 BC. Verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. And that sixth month is of Elizabeth's pregnancy. So that makes it about December of 4 BC. So about 6 months later, Gabriel is sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So espoused means engaged. Doesn't mean married, it means engaged. The marriage custom involves five stages. The first one is the pre-arrangements, which usually happen years prior. The families get together and say, oh, Joseph's such a sweet young boy, and I'll marry such a sweet young girl. They'll get married. And you're stuck with that person, because that's what your parents said. The betrothal ceremony, which happens when a dowry is paid for the bride. So a dowry is then paid by the husband-to-be's family to the wife-to-be's family. They pay for the girl, like she's property. That's how it worked. Then the wedding happens, which is typically a 10-day celebration. And then after that, their first sexual meeting comes together, and a priest decides when that's going to happen. And then there's the honeymoon period following that, which is a one-year time period that the devoted so that they can develop a relationship. Because guess what? They were just smashed together, and that's what the parents decided. They didn't really have a chance to date in court and all that stuff, so they get a year to learn how to treat each other nice. So the betrothal ceremony, which would mean that she's now espoused to Joseph, happens. And it's typically around the ages of anywhere between like 13 and 16 years old. So this is how old Mary is. Yes. Doesn't say specifically in the Bible how old, but that was customary. It would be a young teenaged girl at the time of betrothal.
Don't do that to me.
Nothing to worry about, Han. Nothing to worry about. The word virgin in here is the word parthenos, which simply means a young woman. So it can be used for any young woman, regardless of whether or not they have had sexual intercourse. But it just means that Mary's a young girl, and she's now betrothed to Joseph. All right, verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Can you imagine being a young teenage girl and an angel comes, lands or stands next to you and says, Hi! You are highly favored. God is with you. You're blessed among women. I mean, that must have been incredible. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. What is he talking about? And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor or grace with God. That's the first New Testament usage of the word that is translated many other places as grace. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and he shall be this called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. The word Jesus, or the name Jesus, means the Lord is salvation. So he was to name her son the Lord is salvation. Verse 32 says that he will give unto him the throne of his father David. Obviously his father, not David, but it means his ancestor. It was his rightful throne via Mary, which we saw last week. It was his rightful throne via Mary. And he shall reign, verse 33, over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And these are all the different, well, these are many of the different prophecies that we read about a couple weeks ago, right? That Gabriel is sitting here telling Mary, all of these things are going to come to pass, and they're going to come to pass in your son. That's pretty wild. Verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be? How can this be? Seeing I know not a man. I haven't had sex with anyone. I'm still just betrothed. How will this be? Verse 35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. The word cousin there is the word sungenes, which means kinswoman. Doesn't necessarily mean a cousin, but she was a relative. And there has been, so she had some unspecified relation on Mary's mother's side. So he's saying, look, even your kinswoman, your relative Elizabeth, she also conceived a son in her old age, who was barren. No, this is a miraculous conception we're talking about here, but God has already worked a similar thing, a miraculous conception, in your relative. She was old and she was barren, right? She shouldn't have had any kids, but God took care of her. So he's kind of giving her this example of comfort to kind of help her out here. And then verse 37 says, for with God, nothing shall be what?
Impossible.
The word nothing there is the phrase not anything spoken. Not anything spoken. And the word impossible is adunteisi, which means devoid of power. So with God, nothing he's spoken shall be devoid of power. If God said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. Is Gabriel's message to her. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. And the word handmaid there is the word doule from the word doulos, or a slave or a servant who was treated as a family member. Mary said, behold, the handmaid, the servant of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So that was Mary's reaction to what this angel had just told her. This 13 to 16 year old girl who had just been told that she was going to be giving birth to a child who was of divine conception, her reaction was, be it to me according to thy word. That was her believing. And that's one of the many things that makes Mary highly favored among women. God saw her believing. God saw her heart and knew that she would believe. He waited a very long time to find somebody, to find this Mary who was going to be able to do this. Which is pretty incredible. She had tremendous believing, and it's quite a response to such an incredible message, to all of a sudden just have an angel in front of you and tell you all these things. You know, that her response was, okay, let's do it. And so those are two records that I wanted to cover tonight about Gabriel visiting these two women whose conception is both miraculous in two completely different ways. And then we're going to check out next time what a comfort Elizabeth ends up being to Mary. You know, God had all this stuff planned out so perfectly for the arrival of his son and to be our Redeemer, to take care of us.